Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Now, we were chatting there before the break about breathwork and how England are putting it down to their great success in the Euros. Their win against Switzerland could be all to do with hiring a breathing coach or a breathing guru. Well, I have my own breathing guru in front of me here now. His name is Patrick McCowan and he has worked with lots of celebs. He might be able to tell us about all of them, but of course, it is the key to good breathing. Can help you with issues like asthma. It can also help you sleep better. And if you look at social media now, it is all over the place. Breathwork has become a firm feature of people's lives. Patrick, you're very welcome to us.
Pleasure. Thanks very much, Maura.
Amazing. Just, it's interesting, just before we get into what you do, the success of the English team there at the penalty shootouts there against Switzerland, the team members or the players were seen backstage, people like Harry Kane, lying down, relaxing and breathing. Tell us a little bit about breathwork and how it can work, especially for athletes as well.
So in terms of high performance and the breathing coach, Stuart, he actually did our own training. So a lot of the things that he would have been teaching to the English team are from the Oxygen Advantage.
Have you taught this guy?
He has attended our training, yes.
I love it. So the Brits have you to thank for their success.
Well, there's definitely a contribution there. And it's really about being able to self-regulate. You know, athletes are working in terms of improving their physical ability. But very often, they haven't trained their ability to be able to focus. They haven't trained their ability to be able to down-regulate. And if there's a situation and an athlete is feeling unnerved, how does he or she regulate and bring down their heart rate? Because if we are too stressed going into a situation, we're more liable to make a mistake. Now, that just doesn't apply to athletes. That applies to pretty much every walk of life. So, for example, breathing has been applied here, even in the Garda with the emergency response unit. I've worked with them. We have instructors with the Royal Air Force, Special Weapons and Tactics, Delta Force in the United States, Navy SEALs. So there's many people at a high level that are using breathing. And I know traditionally breathing was seen as this left of field thing. It was seen as woo-woo. There's nothing woo-woo about the ability to be able to self-regulate. It's very important.
Yeah, and I know your own story is very interesting because you had issues with asthma and all that yourself. And you heard about this Russian doctor. Tell us about how you started on this path.
So I graduated from Trinity with Business, Economic and Social Studies back in 1997. I struggled through the degree altogether. I was a chronic mouth breather. I had terrible sleep quality. I didn't know how to concentrate. I didn't know how to hold my attention. And, you know, I was in the corporate world. I felt highly stressed there and my asthma was getting worse. And then I came across a newspaper article, either the Irish Independent or the Irish Times. I think it was Sylvia Thompson that wrote the article. And it was about the work of a Ukrainian doctor. So I reached out to them and I started using their techniques. And then I decided, well, I'm going to change careers. So I got out of the corporate world and I started teaching breathing then full time in 2002. Now, back then, I was only working with people with asthma because that was a condition that I knew inherently myself. I knew that we could get really significant results with it. There have been now 20 clinical trials using breathing techniques specifically targeting asthma, because I have to emphasise that not all breathing techniques are the same.
Okay, just for people listening now, how do you breathe properly? That would be my question. And what is the difference in breathing through your mouth and breathing through your nose?
Well, I suppose let's start off with nose and mouth breathing. Our mouth does nothing in terms of the breath. If we look inside the mouth, we have our teeth, we have our tongue, we have the hard palate, the soft palate, the throat. None of those do anything when it comes to breathing. So the mouth should never be used for breathing. It's all about breathing in and out through the nose. Now, there are times that you will have your mouth open, say, for example, during really high intensity physical exercise. But even during low to moderate exercise, the mouth should be closed. The mouth should be closed during sleep. One should be waking up with a moist mouth in the morning. The nose has a minimum of 30 functions. I put a list together for a book that I was writing a chapter for a medical textbook last year. And I put a list of 30 functions of the nose. And this is inducing relaxation, increased oxygen uptake from the lungs into the blood, increased oxygen delivery to the working muscles during physical exercise, increased blood flow and oxygen delivery to the brain, reduced snoring, reduced sleep apnea, reduced asthma and hay fever, So, and the other thing about the nose is directly it's connected with the diaphragm. And the diaphragm breathing muscle isn't just for respiration, but it provides stabilization for the spine. So 50% of people with lower back pain have dysfunctional breathing. So for anybody just to bear in mind, nose is really where it's at. And I'll go one more. Children who have their mouths open, it leads to craniofacial abnormalities. And this has been written about for 100 years. And yet, see, the thing about breathing has been overlooked. If a child has their mouth open and the tongue is not able to rest in the roof of the mouth, the face will tend to grow in length, narrow, overcrowding of teeth with jaws that are set back, and that child then can have health problems for the rest of their life.
It's funny when you say all this that we don't even talk about this when a child is young. So, A, no child should sleep and breathe through their mouth. They should sleep.
Absolutely.
And no child should snore. I read that in one of your articles.
Yes. Karen Bonnock did a study in Stratford-upon-Avon in 2010. She published it in Paediatrics Journal in 2012. Mm-hmm. She looked at 11,049 British school kids. And her conclusion, she looked at them from age 6 months to 57 months. Those kids, if they were having their mouth open, snoring or having sleep apnea at age 5, if it was untreated, they had a 40% increased risk of special education needs by age 8. The brain develops during deep sleep, but if the child is mouth breathing or stopping the breath or snoring, it takes them out of deep sleep. Like, we need to have a conversation here. And, you know, I know there are many, many health care professionals talking about this. And even in Ireland, there's some. There's Dr. Tony O'Connor down in Cork. And there's a number of others that are really putting it out there. It just hasn't got mainstream. But it's starting to happen. I think it's biting now.
Now, we don't want to scare people listening today if they are asleep breathing through their mouths. And I actually do it myself. So nothing is going to happen to you. You know, it's not a worrying thing. We have to just obviously say that. But Patrick, what you're trying to bring people along here is to help themselves. And if you can breathe, learn to breathe through your nose, and if you can help your child and all that, there will be very positive advantages.
Oh, it's just the
health
only way.
Advantages.
You know, it's having the tools to be able to get out of your head, to reduce overthinking, to improve blood flow and oxygen delivery to the brain. It's not just about holding your attention on the breath. It goes way beyond mindfulness. It's also about improving sleep quality. Like more,
tell us about
say,
the issue of, say, adults and sleep apnea and all that, and about, say, snoring. Because so many people have issues with snoring.
Yes, it's very common. It's 40% of the population. With snoring, they're snoring through the mouth and it goes like this. And snoring through the nose and it goes like this. If you close your mouth snoring stops. You cannot mouth snore if you have your mouth closed
during
sleep.
What if you have sinuses and issues like that? I mean, I know that I've seen on social, and I know you have a product, we'll talk about this in a second now, and I've seen people taping their mouths. And this is becoming a big thing with athletes and all that. But what if you have issues with sinus? Can you tape your mouth?
So say if people have a stuffy nose, which is quite common, you can decongest your nose by holding the breath. Now, we did a pilot study with Limerick Regional Hospital under Professor John Fenton back in 2013. 26 patients with chronic rhinosinusitis, and there was a reduction of symptoms, of nasal symptoms, 70% reduction at 3 months follow-up. So the thing about the human nose is that the more you use it, the better it works. Yeah. And if your nose is stuffy, it's known since 1923 that if you simply stop breathing, your nose opens up. Like, the exercise is so simple and anybody can practice it.
Actually, just for people listening now this morning, they'll be wondering how they can actually, of course, we all want to get healthier. We're talking all about this morning as well, about being healthier for longer, aging well. And these are issues that develop as we age. I mean, as you said, 40% of the population snore. So as we get older, all these things happen. They happen naturally. So if we can do something to help ourselves, something therapeutic like breathing. So let's say someone listening this morning, what can somebody at home do if they or mouth breathers, or if they have issues with sleep?
Well, let's start by breathing in and out through the nose the entire time.
Okay.
And even during yoga, during physical exercise, during sleep, during rest, that's a great foundation. Number two, if you want to improve blood flow and oxygen delivery, it's not about breathing more air. It's actually about breathing less air. Now, I know this sounds contrary to what most people say, because often the instruction is to take a deep breath. But this is what got me into breathing. I remember sitting down back 25 years ago, taking the subtlest of a breath in through my nose and a really relaxed and slow, gentle breath out to the point that I was under breathing.
I'm doing this now.
I didn't feel that I was getting enough air. That signifies that the gas carbon dioxide has increased in your lungs and blood, but that dilates your blood vessels. So people who are breathing too hard and too fast, they often have cold hands and cold feet. But they don't just have cold hands and cold feet. 50,000 miles of blood vessels can be constricting, including blood flow to the brain. So if we believe that it's good to breathe more air into the body, I want to challenge that. It's not based on anything scientific and it's not based on normal medical physiology.
Okay. You know what? It's interesting because I'm just doing this myself. I would be a person that would have a bit of sinus and all that, and I've always kind of suffered with a bit of that. And I, even in that moment that you've been talking there, I've been trying to do this kind of gentle breathing through my nose and keeping my mouth closed. I think it probably will take practice.
It does. But the thing about this is, you know, you practice it in your everyday life. And then in a situation such as taking a penalty kick out, if the heart rate is too elevated, it's very simple to bring down your heart rate. Nobody will even see anything. You can be just standing there as an athlete. You're taking a soft breath in through your nose and a relaxed and slow, gentle breath out. It stimulates the vagus nerve. That in turn brings down the heart rate. And when you bring down the heart rate, then the body is in a greater balance in terms of it's not in so much of a fight or flight response. Like I think the biggest gift that we could give children, teenagers and adults is the ability to be able to counter stress, the ability to be able to get out of their heads, the ability to be able to hold their attention on doing something.
With a simple breath.
But that's what's possible. Brilliant. And Maura, it's really about, like for me, breathing, it's so accessible. You can change your breathing patterns walking down the street. Mm-hmm. If you're going into a presentation such as I'm coming into you, I'm able to self-regulate outside. But knowing that I can self-regulate gives me a comfort coming into you. You know, and there's many situations that people, you know, it's often that they don't reach their full potential, not because they don't know their material, but because their physiology is letting them down.
Well, we've all been in situations, and I know certainly myself and what I do and live broadcasting, and even when the first day I started presenting this radio show as opposed to TV, which I'm used to, I was in a complete panic, and I certainly was, my heart rate was definitely up. I felt it. I was sweating. I had all these symptoms. And you know, I'm a long time doing this job, but yet it's a new challenge. So I get that. We obviously should say to people out there as well, always make sure that they seek medical advice if they have problems like sleep apnea or other medical conditions. Now, I have here with me something that you invented, because if anyone listening this morning will see all over social that a lot of people are taping their mouths, a lot of, you know, well-known people, but also athletes. But you've invented a tape just for you guys at home. Now, do get in touch, 51551, if you have questions for Patrick before he escapes out of the studio. I have a tape here. And how do I use this? Will you tell me what to do with this piece of tape?
So this tape is called MyoTape, and it's basically a tape that surrounds the mouth.
It's like kind of a sticking plaster in a square.
Correct, and it's elasticated.
And it's got a hole in the middle.
That's correct. So okay. It doesn't cover the mouth, so it's safe. So basically you stretch it about 30%.
Okay.
And actually I'll do it with you, which might make it a bit easier.
Okay, so you stretch it.
So we stretch it just about 30% like so. And
one hand. It's not easy to do with one paw. Okay, and you just put it across.
Correct.
Like this. So this, now if I'm sounding a bit weird, I have a tape on my mouth. So this is not taping my mouth closed, but it's holding my mouth like this when I go to sleep at night.
Correct, with an elasticated tension, and it's the elasticity that's pulling the lips together. So if, for example, there was an emergency, the individual can mouth breathe. So because we want to bring this into the mainstream, and it's still seen as there's a perceived risk if somebody is taping. And if somebody has moderate to severe sleep apnea, they shouldn't cover their mouths.
No, of course not. And that's why we have to say that again today. Yeah, absolutely.
But I will say this, Maura. Even if somebody was on a CPAP machine, there was a study back in 2004. Compliance rate with CPAP is 50%. This is the gold standard of treatment for sleep apnea in the Western world. Individuals who are nose breathing while wearing the CPAP, they increase their compliance to 70%. And individuals who are mouth breathing while wearing the CPAP, their compliance went down to 30%. Even when you have a treatment for sleep apnea, it's still important to get your mouth closed.
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us, young and old, to learn to breathe properly. And just as we know that our gut is our second brain, as you said, our nose has so many more functions when proper breathing is at its optimum, that you can actually do so much more than we're doing. So it's very basic stuff, really. It's back to basics. We talked earlier on about getting back to nature. I guess maybe going back to the primordial mists of time, people probably were able to breathe probably better than us now.
Well, they had different lives. You know, we have so much competitive pressures, and all of this will impact our breathing, and even social media is going to impact people's breathing. And with that, if we have faster and harder breathing, it is going to cause agitation of the mind. Yeah. You know, and it really is. I would say that breathing, when properly applied in an accessible way, can help all of the major pillars of health, even dental health. Because if we have our mouth open, our mouth is dry, saliva is dried up, bacteria is more rampant, there's a higher plaque index, greater gum disease, and greater bad breath. Yeah. You know, so it crosses respiration, mental health, dental health, physical fitness. There's so many aspects to it.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? One of the most important aspects as well, even if you don't have a medical condition or you don't have asthma or you don't have issues with sleep, is that it calms body and mind. Yes. And that's the most important. Lots of people getting in touch. Owen got in touch. Hi, I have read one of Patrick's books. I continue to use his breathing advice while running with great results and reduced recovery. However, has he any advice for someone trying work on their regulation of breathing for swimming? That's an important one. And actually, a lot of people out there have their kids in the water. I know my own sister had her son doing swimming lessons this week, or swimming, ongoing swimming lessons. So what about breathing in the water? Have you any advice on that? Because I find it really hard to do that water breathing.
In the water is pressing against the body. So there's a natural resistance to your breathing. And you're not going to have your mouth closed in the water. But if you can restrict or limit your breaths while in the water, it's going to improve your efficiency. If, for example, you're taking a breath every 3 strokes, every time you take a breath, you're losing, there's hydrodynamic drag, so you're losing propulsion. If you can take a breath every 5 or 7 strokes, now your ability to do that is going to be determined by your breathing outside of the pool. So if you want to improve your breathing in the pool, it's not just about how you breathe in the pool, it's about how you breathe outside the pool. And swimmers can apply this. Like, one of our instructors is Dean Gladstone, and he's from Bondi Rescue. And just last week as well, I was working with a guy, I'm not sure if I can disclose who it is, but he's a colleague of Chris Evans, and he's swimming the English Channel.
Wow.
So we are using these techniques to help him in his swim across the English Channel, because it's all about how can you train the body to be more efficient, because it costs energy to breathe. And if you're breathing too hard and too fast, you're wasting energy.
On that, actually, Patrick, this is a good one here. We have somebody here who, Judy, she says, I regularly hike and mountain climb. I think I would struggle to breathe through my nose approaching a summit. Any advice, Patrick, says Judy?
Yes. Breathing through the nose, you have to, this is something that you train over time, that your body adapts to it. I'll give you a story of an individual. His name is Iher Varys. He just completed Barclay Martins there in the last few months. It's one of the most gruesome ultra martins in the world. His secret weapon was nasal breathing. He came in first. Only 26 people have completed this martin since 1986. He applied everything. Breathing through his nose, down regulating, but we also do breath holding for athletes.
Do you train regular folk like me now as well?
We do, but unfortunately my time is, all of next year is booked out into 2026.
Oh well, put me on the list. On the list I go with everybody
it's
else.
It's just one of those things, you know. Like,
but you work away so much as well, don't
I'm
you?
I'm away next week,
I have
yes.
to ask you as well, because I know that you've worked with Coldplay, the band.
Yes.
What did you do with them?
Without going into too many specifics, we do breathing techniques to help open up the airways, to help suspend a note so a singer doesn't run out of air.
Okay.
To be able to do physical exercise with singing without losing or having too much breathlessness. Also preparation pre-concert, cool down post-concert, improving sleep quality. So there's a lot of aspects to it.
Brilliant. Lots of text coming in here. Mary said, more I breathe through my mouth because of stuffed nose. It means I wake up tired and it takes me 2 hours to get energetic, says Mary. Somebody else, use your myotapes. Get myotape, says somebody else here. I've been using it to nose breathe for a few years. Fantastic product, Patrick. Thank you. Less snoring and better sleep. Good morning, Morris. Some years ago, I listened to Patrick and breathing. He is fabulous. Worth doing. That comes in from Bernie. Yeah, on that, people can wake up tired and a bit more slovenly and harder to get going in the morning if you do breathe through your mouth at night.
More nasal congestion has reduced cognitive function. If you have a stuffy nose, you don't just have a stuffy nose. Your ability to concentrate, plan, make decisions is also impacted. For Mary, she has a stuffy nose. What I would say to Mary is, once she's not pregnant or if she doesn't have anxiety, and we can go very gentle with this exercise, take a normal breath in through the nose.
Okay, I'm going to do this now.
A normal intra nose, it'd be silent. So it's a normal silent breath in through your nose. and a silent breath out through your nose. Hold your nose and just gently nod your head up and down. We'll do 5 head nods.
Is that 5?
And then let go and breathe in through your nose. And for Mary to practice that and then build it up to 7, build it up to 10, build it up to 15 to find where she's at. If you hold your breath after an exhalation and you gently nod your head, you will open up your nose.
Great, Mary. That's a good tip there, Mary. It really, really is, to get that kind of energy. So to do that in the morning.
Yes, but any time the nose then is stuffy during the day, even with hay fever. And the more that Mary breathes through the nose, even if she finds there's a little bit of air hunger when she's breathing through her nose, just to persist with it, because the body adapts to that. The worst way we can breathe is mouth breathing. Mouth breathing is faster breathing, it's harder breathing, it's upper chest breathing, and it's going to continuously put us into this fight or flight response. So to improve concentration, and this is why we would love to see this getting into the school system. I was challenged in school. I found it very difficult. I got my degree, but it could have been a lot easier. Mm-hmm. You know, we're teaching children how to think, but we are not giving them the tools how to concentrate.
Well, and I know in a lot of schools now, and I think it's great, and I think a lot of schools realise that they do a lot more exercises as well, with especially younger children, because it's not natural for a child who is 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 to sit for that long. So a lot of people in a lot of schools, and I know I've interviewed some teachers over the last year, let their kids walk around a bit and take those times. But I agree, wouldn't it be lovely if you could? I'm just looking at the amount of books that you've written. Close Your Mouth is one, and this is a revolutionary approach to asthma. And I've read this book, so that's a really good book, especially my own son has childhood asthma, and I certainly feel that breathing, and he does those breath things to calm himself down as well. The Oxygen Advantage as well. And I know that Julia Bradbury, when I came across you first, Patrick, through Julia Bradbury, of course, the English presenter, who interviewed you for her book. And I remember reading that and thinking, this is it's realistic kind of stuff in a way. It's kind of it's basic in one way, but it's it works. It really, really works. What always breathe correctly. Is this aimed at children?
I wrote that about 21 years ago, and it's always breathe correctly. It's encouraging children through storylines how to breathe and how to decongest their nose, how to breathe properly in terms of improving their ability to do physical exercise.
Great.
So it's in cartoon format.
This helps for kids. This is for kids. I'm just looking through this here. I didn't even know you had this book.
I have another one as well, Buteyko Meets Dr. Mew for Teenagers, because again, we're trying to get it out there. Now, our children's breathing program is free online anyway.
Okay.
So children can have access to any of the exercises. They're all there.
And where do they go for that, Patrick?
They're on YouTube. They're also on our website, myotape.com.
Okay.
Our apps are free. Everything in it is free. So we do our best to try and put it out there.
Brilliant. Well, Patrick, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you today. And I just think it's amazing that you trained the breath coach who got those penalty shootouts. Well, I'm not saying he got them, but who trained at the English team as well. So it's wonderful that breath work is going throughout, not just in everyday life for captains of industry, but also for athletes and singers and regular folks like ourselves. Thank you so much for being
pleasure.
With us.
Thank you,
we'll
Mara.
Take a little break back in a minute.
Email oliver@rte.ie.